My name is Christopher Domel, and I currently live in Lansing, Michigan, and I'm a member of the Grinnell College class of 1994. So I grew up in a small town in Indiana, Crawfordsville, Indiana, which was the home of Wabash College. So I always sort of grew up in a small, it's an 800 student all men's school, and both of my parents worked there, so I knew I didn't want to go to Wabash. But there were a lot of students or of children of faculty that ended up at Grinnell for some reason. So when I started looking at colleges, and I was everywhere. I mean, I looked at probably every single college in the ACM and every single college in the GLCA. So I went on this epic tour of colleges the summer before my senior year and probably visited like 20 schools in a week. And I remember really not liking Grinnell the first time that I came here, because when I came in 19, like the summer of 89, I guess it would have been, the admissions department was over in that little house that's over by the old South Campus, the far end of the South Campus.
Okay. In Mears?
Used to be in Mears. It was in Mears when I came here.
Interesting.
And when I went to the interview, the lighting of the room was actually very much like this one, where it was really dark and the interviewer, there was like one light that, you know, I sort of felt like I was in like an old war movie, you know, they had the light shining on me. So I came out of that interview thinking, oh, I didn't leave a good taste in my mouth. I mean, I liked some of the rest of the campus, but I'd pretty much written off Grinnell, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But then a little while later, some of the other people from of my parents, you know, my friends and the children of my parents' friends, said they were going to come out for an overnight visit, you know, to actually be able to attend some classes. And I came back for that and stayed overnight on South Campus they had like at that time at least, they had like a room that was set aside for admissions visitors.
Okay.
I don't know if they still do that or
not.
Yeah,
they do that.
It's probably over on East Campus now. But, anyway, I stayed overnight there, got to attend some classes, and having actually experienced sort of the life at Grinnell and meeting some of the other students and talking, you know, sitting in classes and hearing the conversations that were going on, at that point, it moved from sort of not being on my list to being, you know, top on my list. So that's how I ended up at Grinnell. So my first memory of campus was not necessarily positive, but so that's how I ended up here. I think that there were way too many professors and staff members that I remember, but Roger Vetter, who's a music professor,
yeah.
I just actually got a chance to talk to him today.
Oh, yeah.
I took pretty much every class that he would offer. I was in his gamelan for the 3 years that he was there. And just, you know, basically he was the one, you know, up until that point, I had really gotten a chance to see, you know, my experience with music was very Western based. And of course he's all about everything that's not Western. So having a chance to learn about that was really great. My advisor was Don Irving in the English department, and he passed away a few years ago. And he's probably, I remember he was probably the most, I was a strange student because I was in English, had an interest in writing, you know, because what I wanted to really do was become a technical writer. And so I was taking this, you know, very liberal artsy sort of focus in sciences and computer science and English to try to get that kind of background. And he was willing to let me get away with that. So he was influential in the sense that as someone who was both, he both taught English, you know, American literature, and he taught American studies. So he was sort of sitting on that, a similar boundary, although very much more humanities oriented than science oriented as I was. There's a ton of Grant Gale. I don't know if you ever had a chance to meet him, but he's the physics professor. He was an emeritus faculty member when I was here, and he was this great, I mean, he, you know, really smart guy. He was already retired when I started coming, but like all of those exhibits, if you've ever walked through the science building on the first floor, like that museum, almost everything that's there is stuff that he collected and put together.
Really? Wow.
And he used to sit in his office, and if he saw any students like standing in the hallway looking at some of those things, he'd come out and give you like a personal tour of everything.
Wow.
So,
that's great.
And that's kind of, I mean, he sort of sums up, I think, a lot of the faculty here, because it's really, I mean, it was faculty like that who sort of went out of their way to really connect with the students, which is something that I really appreciated. So my memories of my time at Grinnell, you know, that's hard. there's a lot to choose from.
Yeah, that's a really bad question.
I think one of the things that I remember most was the town of Grinnell, because little things like the Danish bakery, that was something. I actually did an American Studies project with that, where I went and sat at the bakery from like 1 a.m. when he started baking until 5 in the morning.
Really?
Two or three nights, and basically did this to try to get his story about, you know, how did he start baking, and, you know, how what's it like to work in a college, this college town where you have students showing up in the middle of the night, and, you know, that was sort of the experience I was looking for too, right? Because, I mean, this was a town, and it really hasn't changed in 15 years. I mean, it's still like 9,000 people in the town itself. College is this huge piece of the population. And, you know, for the most part, you know, you'd walk down to Cunningham's back when it was Cunningham's. You probably didn't get to have that experience.
Yeah, it's so sad that we don't have it anymore.
So I saw today that it's, you know, I remember the Cunningham's still had the soda fountain open when I was there. And I used to go down there every, you know, couple weeks just to, you know, sort of go back in time, really, to the 50s. And to go down there now, and it's like a hair salon where the soda fountain is. It's a little strange. My first dorm room was actually in Norris. I don't think Norris exists anymore, does it?
Yeah, no.
Is it?
I'm living there right now for me.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is it still the old Norris, or is it? Was has it been?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I'm pretty sure. It's
so
not
it's still like got the Holiday Inn sort of like old
narrow hallway.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really narrow hallway. So I lived on second floor of Norris, and sort of like right in the middle where the stairwell was.
Okay.
So like everybody that came upstairs would be clomping right past my room. And at the time, at least, Norris was also the home of a lot of really raucous beer-oriented parties. And so you'd wake up in the morning on like a Sunday morning or a Saturday morning, and you'd have that Norris lounge sort of musk coming up from the first floor. But I mean, I remember that, you know, that room was like, it wasn't much larger than this room. So maybe, you know, it was probably maybe 10 feet wide, maybe. I don't know, 8 feet. It's probably 10 feet. It's a little wide, but, you know, it was a double, obviously. And it had these like black bookshelves built into one side of it that were
nice.
Well, those aren't too bad, yeah. And then the windows were sort of those cantilevered sort of, you know, layered windows that never gave you enough air in the summer. So it's one thing that I forgotten is how much you get used to air conditioning.
Yeah, we actually have air conditioning now in Norris.
Really?
Oh, nice.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
They spoil you guys. So the Norris when I was there was kind of dilapidated and kind of, you know, and I basically kept moving progressively south every year after that. Second year I was in Smith for the first semester and Yonker in the second semester, not Smith, Dibble? I can't remember.
Okay.
Anyway, so I ended up in Yonker the second semester and then moved down to South Campus and finally ended up in Luce my senior year. But yeah, I still remember that first dorm room. My roommate was, you know, Torin Kester, and it's like probably everybody that comes in here. It's like your roommates frequently, you've got some similarity, but you're also like diametric opposites for that first year. So you either get along famously or you like learn to live with each other for 6 months. That was sort of where we were.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm going to go through these here. So I already talked about the town of Grinnell. I mean, again, that I still remember the first time I walked downtown and saw that the bank, the Jewel Bank, the mm-hmm. Sullivan Bank. And I mean, the town at the time, it was still sort of like it is now, where you had a lot of empty shops, and then you had some others that were pretty busy. But I spent most of my time like at Pag's or the Back Alley Deli or you know, all those places that I'm probably pretty much of people are going to today, since they're all still there. The ones that I, yeah, you know, that aren't, yeah, I figure people aren't going to.
Yeah.
How has Grinnell changed since I was a student? Well, that's probably the easiest thing, because the campus is dramatically different from when I was here. I mean, I was here 10 years ago, and at that time, the big change was that they had the new admissions building, and then they had the new, the East Campus stuff. Now I'm here, and Noyce is like twice as big as it used to be.
Yeah.
The Rosenfield Center is where Darby was, and Darby is like, you know, gone, which is bizarre to me. I think that, I mean, there's a lot of changes like that, but on the other hand, it's like all the changes that I see seem to be, like, if I'd been here as a student at the time, they're things that I would have liked to appreciate, like in the Noyce building, the way they've got like all these more places for students to study,
mm-hmm,
and,
yeah,
and work together.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge improvement over what, because like it used to be, if you're looking for places to actually study as a group, there was basically Burling.
Oh, really?
And,
yeah, Noyce is great.
Yeah, and other than that, it was all like community space, right? So like you'd go to, I mean, you could sit in the forum and, you know, sit in the cafeteria there to work, but you were sitting at like diner tables sort of, or booths, you know.
Yeah.
And that wasn't very great for academic collaboration. So I guess the physical structure of Grinnell has changed. That's changed the most from my impression. I mean, the students, for the most part, as much as I have a chance to talk with them, seem to be pretty much the same, just, you know, more modern versions. In the town, like I said, I mean, there's a lot of like old fixtures in the town that aren't there anymore. I mean, we didn't have the giant Walmart on the outskirts of town.
That changes stuff a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we used to, like, for just to get out of town, we used to drive, some friends and I used to drive to a truck stop that was on the way to Newton. And because they had really good chili there. But anyway, so. I think when I was on campus, I certainly spent a lot of time in the art building. I guess that was probably, I mean, I was involved with theater classes and all of the music stuff. I spent a lot of time in Herrick practicing organ there. But I mean, we spent a lot of time just hanging out in people's rooms, which I'm sure hasn't changed that much. You know, there's a suite of rooms that's on like the second floor of Luce that a group of friends had, and we used to spend a lot of time hanging out there. So I remember, have a lot of fond memories of that part of the campus. I think I've always just really liked the field that's in the North Campus. I mean, that's sort of like the, when I come back, it's one of the first places that I look at, because that,
the,
you know,
dorms.
The loggia, well, yeah, where they have the loggia on the left, and then the East Campus is there now. But, you know, that big open green space that was there, which, you know, for me at the time, you sort of looked past that and you felt like you're in the middle of cornfields. But, I don't know, there's a lot of places on campus that I remember being at. If I knew then. Well, you know, when I was at Grinnell, the things that I would have done differently, I think, is I really wish that I'd gone abroad. You know, if I'd taken some off-campus study, that would have been a good thing, which sounds weird, but I spent all 4 years on campus, which I really enjoyed, but on the other hand, you know, it would have been nice to get that off-campus Grinnell experience too. Like the Grinnell in London program was really popular when I was here, and that would have been a lot of fun. But I think everybody, I mean, when you're at college, you feel like you're doing everything you possibly can. And then when you leave college, you look back and you're like, oh, I wish I'd done this or I wish I'd done that. Gosh, here I had this opportunity to take a class there and I didn't. So it's hard to say, but I think I don't know. That's the only real regret that I have based on what I know now. Probably would have spent more time studying. That would have been smart
too. All that other stuff if you studied.
So, I mean, I guess for student and campus life, one of the things that I liked about Grinnell was the fact that they tried to bring things in on campus that were kind of interesting that you could do. Yeah. So you never really felt like, even though you were isolated, you never really felt like you were isolated because there was always something to do every weekend. But, you know, we spent, in terms of student life, meals were the big place where you sort of caught up with everybody and you saw people that, you know, maybe you didn't see all the time, you know, sitting down in the... I want to say, is it Old Main? Is that the southernmost, it used to be the southernmost dorm where they had a dining hall. I don't think they have that anymore, but that was where for 2 or 3 years, that's where I would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner with a group of people that, you know, it was almost like we were living in some giant apartment, right? But attending classes, originally going to the Forum to watch movies and eventually going to the Harris Center once that was built on campus. That was built when I was here. We used to have, when I was first here, it was rare for students to have a computer, right? I mean, I had a computer, and I think like all the people on my floor, maybe 2 or 3 people had their own computer. Everybody else was using these little computer labs that were in, on the first floors of all the residence halls. Like in Norris, at the time when I first got here, they were actually computer terminals. They weren't like PCs or Macs. They were just like, you know, green screens that you...
Oh, I remember
this. Yeah, it was a long time ago. But at the time, they didn't have air conditioning, and, you know, you didn't do... I mean, they weren't like... the internet wasn't there yet, you know? Yeah. It wasn't... You didn't really do all the stuff to the World Wide Web and Facebook and all that stuff came so much later. But, so we had, like, if you wanted to get on the computer, email was a big thing, right? You know, so instead of text messaging, we were doing emails all the time because that was, like, the new hip technology. So you had people who would, like, know where every terminal room was on campus so that, like, after class, you would run to a computer room to check your email and send an email to, you know, your friends, and then you'd move on to the next thing. And it wasn't until, like, probably my sophomore, junior, senior year that they started replacing those with real computers like PCs and Macs. So that was definitely different than it is now, because, you know, now I look around and see, not only do I know that everybody, you know, probably every student now has a computer or a laptop.
Yeah,
so, and that would have just been unheard of then. So wireless internet. You know, internet in your dorm room, you know, all that stuff was new when I got here. What would I include from my years when I was at Grinnell if I were writing a history of Grinnell College? That's a really interesting question.
Yeah, I don't
know. I think it's hard. I mean, it's hard for me to look back and say what's significant from a history perspective, because... I mean, most of the things that stick out from my years were sort of the tragedy things that happened, because we had a student everybody know, Tammy, I can't remember her name now, and she was, she basically disappeared.
Does she have a rock outside Bianca? Yeah.
Yeah, so she, that was one of the big, like, event things, but, I mean, from a historic importance, I don't know how historic... that would be. I don't know. I mean, when you're here in the middle of everything, just like in history in general, I mean, you're a history major, so I'm sure you think about this occasionally, but when you're in the middle of history, it's hard to tell what's historic. So, I mean, sometimes there are obvious things, like, you know, you elect the first black president. but there are other, like, smaller things that you don't realize are important until, you know, years from now. Like the fact that they went from George Drake to Pam Ferguson as the first female president was when I was at Grinnell. So there's nothing obvious that stands out in my mind, but, and I guess that's it. So